Hello, and welcome back to your favorite hour of the week. This is the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Pete Sweeney here with the player, Sean Barber, and the blog father, Joel Foreman. And it's an interesting week for the Kansas City Chiefs because they are playing the lowly 1-8 New York Giants, Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts on the call this Sunday, noon Arrowhead time. But guys, we're off the bye week. You guys have had some adventures during the past week. Sean, why don't you talk a little bit about where you went?
Oh man, had a great adventure. A salute to service tour. I was able to go to Bahrain, through Kuwait City, visit about 8 different military bases, hundreds and hundreds of different service members, service men and women, just to salute them, tell them how much we appreciate them for their service, and also to teach them a couple of nutritional and some flexibility and some yoga and some things that.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You were teaching nutrition and
yoga, master.
Hey, man, you know what? That PT training is just, they run clicks, they run miles, they do some burpees. But when you talk about fine-tuning your body, cores and balance and stuff, sometimes the military misses out on those things.
What was your biggest takeaway from your trip over there?
Man, just how, you know what? How blessed and grateful we are, how much, how thankful we should be on a daily about our freedoms here in this country. Nothing more, nothing less than that.
All right, Joel, why don't you talk about your trip?
Well, it's tough to follow that up because I went to Ireland where I had like 9 beers a day.
Ooh.
So it's not exactly the same thing as Sean, but
every place I went was dry country over there. So it was like hard as
own. So you guys had polar opposite vacations.
Polar opposites.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun though. Miss Arrowhead Pride and I went for a few days. Great country.
Get away from the blog life.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Totally didn't do any blogging for a few days. And now I feel like almost like out of it. You know, as I was preparing for the podcast this morning, it feels like I've been out of the loop for like months, but it's been 6 days.
Yeah. It was just nice to get away. And it allows you to kind of plug back in and get re-excited. Because I think after a while, you know, you're 9 games in, you're a little bit tired of football, but then you come back and you're kind of jonesing again. So that's how I feel. But here we go. We're back. It's the Chiefs and the New York Giants. Go right to the news. I think the biggest news as of this week is that Daddy Nicholas has been elevated to practice again. And again, he was on the PUP list. So now there's a 3-week window where the Chiefs have to activate him to the 53-man roster or he'll be done for the year. This is a linebacker, Sean. What do you think of Daddy Nicholas?
Man, you know, I had the opportunity to evaluate him and grade him when he came out of college. Definitely when we got him as late in the draft as we did, tremendous upside. Just haven't had a lot of chance to see him on the field. I think he definitely possesses the tools and techniques and the skill level to be a impact player on passing downs. But against the run, I think that's probably his downfall. So if the Giants come, you know, if we go to the Giants and they're featuring their running game, I don't think Daddy will be in there too much.
I don't think they'll activate him for this game. You know, they took that step right away with Tom Bahali, but this is someone who had been – you know, working out consistently. It seems like Daddy had just gotten back into it.
Right. I expect it to, I'm sure it's going to be a few weeks at least. And it was a really serious injury that he had. So what kind of player will he be when he gets back? I think that's, still to be determined a little bit. But I just think of that, like, first step, like you said, passing downs late in the game when, you know, Tamba or Zamba or whoever needs a breather. You know, I think Daddy could potentially be effective there. But, he's not a full-time guy yet.
To your point, he suffered this injury on January 1. It is now November 16th, and he's just starting to practice. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Not only to not be doing anything physical, but away from the game.
Yeah, your timing is one thing. I know when I came back off my ACLs, the one thing that always bothered me was my timing. Subconsciously, when you prepare yourself to hit somebody, yeah, it's almost a you don't even think about it. Your body prepares to get hit, and you just strike, and you take the guy down. But when I came back from my injuries, every time I came back, it was just a half a second off. And sometimes I would knock myself a little cuckoo just because I wasn't really prepared for that impact. And it took me a few weeks of just hitting somebody and getting that timing back down. I think that's the one thing he's going to have to get back in. Hand movements off the ball, getting off that rock, just being just, you know, where it's not thinking anymore. It's just football.
Yeah, if you hear that sound, what we're doing is recording the podcast in the West Plaza neighborhood. And obviously some lawn work outside. So we're going to have to battle the elements a little
bit
today.
Nice little Thursday.
There you go. Daddy Nicholas could be on his way back soon. It remains to be seen. Other injuries that I think is a little bit of a concern because you have this bye week. You expect to come back fully healthy. You have Alan Bailey, MCL, Albert Wilson with his hamstring, D Ford with his back, and Tom Bahali. You're kind of used to him not practicing certain days of the week. again, didn't practice for the Chiefs on Wednesday, but you would have liked to see all these guys practicing. All of them were sitting out to come back.
Yeah, I'm starting to lose a little bit of hope on D Ford just because he's been out for a few weeks and there's no talk of him coming back anytime soon.
In more ways than one, too. Yeah. I mean, even when he's been on the field, right. I mean, he's got a little bit of he's coming out to me as a case where it's almost like maybe this is a guy who needs like a scenery change, like a sort of a restart of his career because he's been injured. And when he's been on the field, almost non-existent when it comes to affecting the game. And that's the last thing you want in an outside linebacker.
Yeah, here we are in week 11, and I can't think of – I mean, this is horrible. I can't think of a single play D Ford's made this year.
In previous years, he's affected games, but just this year, nothing.
Yeah, and I think if you just look at it, you know, if you tell me it was week 11 and these we had four guys on the injury sheet, I think we would all be satisfied with it. I mean, look at some other teams. They have, you know, 12, 13 guys on the injury sheet. You know, I think relatively the Chiefs have been very, very healthy and kind of avoiding any of the serious injury bugs. And the one injury, this, you know, taking somebody off our roster was our kicker. And butt kicker has definitely made that up. I'm almost like we upgraded.
I've been having a little bit of a Cairo Santos watch. I know who's going to get a job at some point. I've been watching the kickers around the league. That's a really good guy. I mean, I understand the Chiefs got one in Harrison Butker, and we can all can agree that. Cairo's a great guy, though. I hope he gets another job in this league, and you hope it's not for an AFC West team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if we look at the progression of our kickers, so we went from Suckup to Cairo, and Suckup is doing great for Tennessee. Hopefully, Cairo Santos does a great job when he goes to somebody in the NFC who needs a kicker. And now we've progressed on to Harrison Butt kicker. So I'm looking forward to just continuing the ways we've been doing, very positive in our kicking game.
I think the expectation for this game is, I agree with you, I don't expect D-Ford to play. Alan Bailey and Albert Wilson, at least according to social media, they seem a little bit more up. I think they have a possibility of playing in this game. I expect Tamba to play. We've been used to seeing him miss practices, and then all of a sudden he's ready for the game in previous years. I expect him to play, and you're going to need him with D-Ford out.
Definitely.
So let's go to the game storylines for this game. The Chiefs are back to a routine. Most games throughout the rest of the year will be at noon. But the thing is, we've seen two versions of this team this year. We started out 5-0, and you had a lot of confidence going into game six that they would just keep it up. And then you saw the 1-3 last four games. So will the real Chiefs please stand up? Sean, what do you think about this team?
Hey, man, go back to the quarters. We need a winning third quarter. This is going to be game two of the third quarter. We need to get back on the winning streak. We need to start the momentum. You know, when you go into that postseason, it's not really what your overall record is. It's who's hot. Who's coming into the postseason off of a 7-8-game win streak? Those are the teams that when they get to the playoffs, everybody's scared to play.
I don't see, like, that big of a difference between the two Chiefs teams that we've seen. You know, they've played some pretty good competitive teams, like no shame losing at Dallas or against Pittsburgh. I think those are both really good teams. So, you know, I just think it's a matter of, like, the small bounces going your way. But you can't help but look at the second half schedule, which eases up quite a bit. So I think from that standpoint, you're more likely to see that first half of the season Chiefs, the team that started, you know, 5-0, I think they can beat up on some bad teams and leave you with maybe some false hope entering the playoffs, as usual.
Well,
nice little fall in Kansas City.
Well, speaking of bad teams, it's a bad team on Sunday. The Giants are 1-8. They're coming off a loss to the 49ers. They're right now in the top five in the NFL draft position. But, of course, Andy Reid asked about playing the Giants this week, and he remained humble.
Look forward to the challenge of playing the Giants. And I've got had a few games against them. Record never matters. You just go play. They've got good talent, good coaching on that team. So we're going to prepare ourselves to go play good. It's a good football team and in a hostile environment. All right, we got to take care of our business first and foremost. You know, we got things we need to take care of, clean up as coaches and players, and so that's what we're going to do. We're studying them and you know, so, but at the same time, we got to make sure that we look in the mirror first and take care of our business, and yeah, that's where you start.
Now, you guys are fans of Arrowhead Pride, but the opposite blog this week is Big Blue View. Yeah. They actually were laughing at that.
Yeah, they left at a couple of things there. There was a question, I think it might have been a little later in the press conference when Andy Reid was asked about the Giants' defense, and he just, you know, was like, they play hard. They sure play hard. And that's one of those things like,
they play hard?
Yeah. And then also, we do this weekly exchange of five questions with the opposing blog, Big Blue View. And this week, one of their questions to me was, how well do Chiefs fans travel? Like, do you think this stadium is going to be all Chiefs fans? So I kind of laughed at that hostile environment comic. So I think there's going to be plenty of red there.
I have friends in New York. You know, pull the curtain back a little bit. I grew up a huge New York Giants fan. A lot of my family and friends are New York Giants fans, and they're questioning whether or not they're going to go the rest of the season because it gets cold in New York. You have nothing to play for. You're almost rooting for them to lose at this stage of the game because once you get eight losses, you're not making the postseason. So I think there's a chance, again, on another road game, you get a lot of Chiefs fans, at least maybe 30-40%. That's what I would guess.
Yeah, and it should be easy to see in those, you know, with compared to all that blue in there. I think there's going to be plenty of Chiefs fans there. Plus, the only thing is they go back to New York in 2 weeks. So,
right, and it could be a little bit better.
I'd probably rather go to a Jets game than a Giants game.
Could be a little bit better of a game against the New York Jets. If you're a huge Chiefs fan, like we see in Kansas City, you happen to live in New York, I would go to both games. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it's right there, why not go to both games?
You can probably get like $8 tickets to the Giants game.
Now, one thing I do to prepare for this podcast is I'll listen to the other team's opposing press conferences, and something did stand out to me. Listen, I think, and to tease a little bit, I do think the Chiefs will beat the Giants, but something did stand out to me about Coach McAdoo this week. Listen in.
I messaged to him in the meeting. We had some open conversations, some hard talk, some plain talk, some simple talk. Played some film. We were brutally honest with each other. We'll see how the players respond. They had a nice day of practice today. But we also talked about the great opportunity in front of us. I'll read a little bit. I know you like when I pull my notes out, right? So I'll read a little bit here to you, if I can find it. You know, we talked about being disappointed, but being determined. These guys, these group of men, they're special in a lot of ways. They've been fighting through adversity their whole lives. The players and coaches to be sitting in that room is unique. And we talked about running to adversity. That's where we are in the season. We're halfway through. We have one win. Let's run right to it. We're blessed to have the opportunities that we have 7 more weeks. I think it's a great opportunity. It's probably the greatest opportunity in my life these next 7 weeks. You know, a lot of doubt out there, whether it's in the building or not, but there's doubt definitely on the outside. So we have a chance to flip the script last 7 weeks.
This seemed out of the realm for the New York Giants. And I don't know, that scares me to have this like epiphany meeting right before you play the Chiefs.
It feels like a desperate coach to me. He even brought his notes that he said to the team to the press conference. I read that as just total desperation. Is this going to be after 11 weeks, you know, or a season and a half, is this going to be the right button that he's pushing and this 1-9 team's going to finish, you know, 6-10? Like, I doubt it.
Sean, did you ever hear words from a coach that changed the mentality?
Luckily, I haven't. I don't think I've been on a team that needed it.
Right.
Because, I mean, we played as professionals, man. You're out there playing, no matter what the scoreboard is, no matter what the record is, each snap you have the opportunity to make it, make a big play, to add another a stat to your own repertoire, to make a big play. And when they talk about watching film as a team and just being very accountable, I mean, it's almost blatant what you see when you saw the Giants last game. I mean, just point out a specific player, right? Janoris Jenkins, right? He's a cornerback. Every time the running back came, His lack of physicality as a tackler on 3 or 4 touchdown plays was just awful. It wasn't a professional football play. It was a guy who's on a high school level out there bending at the waist, opening the door, and just letting the guy continue to go. You cannot call defenses, and you cannot play with 10 guys on the field on a defense when one guy is just refusing to even show up.
And this is supposed to be one of your better players.
Yes, yes. That's one of your defense leaders. He's one of the guys. He's a lockdown corner when he plays. And to be able to coach and call plays and defend another NFL team when you have somebody playing at that level, that's probably one of the things we say, hey, we have to like address this. We can't just overlook it. We can't just go by it. We have to really put it on film in front of the whole team and ask the man to man, are you going to play like this? If so, we're going to deactivate you. Because we can't have anybody playing. That's not you're not playing like a
You giant. Might as well play with guys looking to gain an opportunity, like on a practice squad.
Always.
Than these starters who have gotten complacent.
This feels like a speech that works with like a 4-5 team who still is sort of in the race. Like 1-9, I don't think there's anything a coach says that can turn this around. Like, it's lost. It's so obvious it's lost. They lost, you know, seemingly lost the locker room weeks ago, suspending multiple players. I think this just reeks of desperation to me.
Well, it's a bad team, and to make matters worse for the New York Giants, they're playing Andy Reid off of a bye week, and that gets us to our next storyline. 16-2 in his career off the bye week, but ask Andy Reid about it. He doesn't even know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I have no idea on that. I don't know that. I'm not even sure what the record is, but I don't, I mean, I don't know what other teams do. I don't get to know that. We just got to do what we do and then try to get better. I mean, if I had to pick one thing out, that's what you try to do.
Andy's got no idea what the record is.
You try to get better. If I had to pick one thing, that's what you do. You try to get better. Like, he's not wrong. You do try to get better.
He said he had a seat and be humble. That's what he did. He listens to himself. Hey, he tells his guys all the time, hey, be humble. Don't, you know, you don't blow your own whistle. You just kind of sit down and be humble. Let everybody else talk about how good you are. So to him, it's probably a little bit of a credit for the media and for the reporters to keep bringing up he's 16-2 after a bye week. He probably just smiles on the inside. And I don't really pay attention to that. I'm just preparing, you know.
I mean, it speaks to his ability to, like, be real with his own team, look at what they do well and fix their problems, you know, when he has the extra time, he's actually going to use part of it. And to me, that really highlights, like, a huge part of this game is that Andy Reid's just such a better coach than McAdoo. Man, it would be a colossal, colossal upset if the worst-case scenario popped up.
That's our next storyline. I do want to discuss that. Chiefs open up as 13-point favorites on the road. That is almost unheard of. They're down to about 11 now, as according to Vegas. But what would a loss to the Giants, that's the worst-case scenario, mean for the Chiefs?
I mean, in some ways, like, even if they lost to the Giants, I think I'd still probably pick them to make the playoffs, but it would just cement the idea that they're not going to do anything in the playoffs. I mean, it wouldn't be catastrophic, I don't think, because they'd still be 6-4 and they'd still be kind of right there. But for any Chiefs fan who's paying attention, how can you take this team seriously after that loss?
The only reason I bring this point up is because a lot of weeks, and you see it a lot, these are Chiefs fans that have now gotten dissatisfied with just making the playoffs. And after each loss, fans, you know, to some extent are right for getting upset. I think sometimes maybe Chiefs fans get too upset. But this is the one week, I'll tell you, if they lose to the New York Giants, you are right in getting upset. Because, listen, that'd be an inexcusable loss.
As a player, I never really got too high and low off of wins and losses. The only win I cared about was the final one of the season, which had been the Super Bowl, and the only loss was the one that put us out the playoffs. Those are the only two wins and losses.
You want to be playing in the last day of the season.
That's my only focus, to get better and better each week, to go out there and perform like we're actually practicing and getting better each week, and then to build confidence in each other. And that's what winning does. It builds confidence in other teammates and what other people are doing. But as far as your own confidence level, I guarantee we have 53 guys that no matter win, lose, or draw against the Giants, they're going to come in next week with the same amount of swagger and confidence in this team as a whole. The fans, I mean, they go up and down with wins and losses. They like to root for a winning team. They like for their team to win. But when it comes to what really is the nuts and bolts about the season, it's trying to win a Super Bowl. And if you got to try some different things on a week like this and plans of being just a better overall team down the road, then you got to do it.
All right. Well, listen, it's the Chiefs and the Giants in New Jersey this coming Sunday, noon, Arrowhead time. When we come back, we'll discuss the X's and O's of this game. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Pete Sweeney sitting here with Sean Barber and Joel Thorman. We're talking Chiefs and Giants meeting this Sunday in New Jersey at noon. We'll start with the Chiefs offense, the number 5 offense in the league versus the New York defense, number 31 in the league. We talked about Ben McAdoo in the previous segment. What he likes to do in his press conferences, as I found out yesterday by watching them, is he'll take out his notes and he'll just read what he thinks about the opposing team. Here's McAdoo on the Chiefs offense.
Excited to play a 1 o'clock home game. Versus one of the best teams in football. We have our work cut out for us. They're talented, healthy, and coming off of a bye. Offensively, they're well built. They're versatile, have a lot of firepower. Alex Smith is playing at the highest level at this point. They feature 2 college running backs, a wide receiver in Hill and Thomas, that present a challenge. Kelce is a matchup challenge as well. He's a big basketball player playing tight end. Kareem Hunt is a physical, hungry runner, and all 5 offensive linemen play tackle in college.
How weird is that intro? Does like the media not know about the Chiefs?
So he was reading off of something right there?
He'll start. So we'll play the defense in a little bit, but he'll start with the opposing offense. Then he'll go to the opposing defense and then special teams. And it's almost like he's teaching the media about who the Chiefs are. Like, the media can watch Chiefs games, Ben.
Yeah. Kelsey, pretty good.
Basketball player playing tight end.
He did give some bullet points. You know, he had some things you might not know. He had some things about, you know, wide receivers being converted running backs. All our offensive linemen have played tackles, letting know they're very versatile. I mean, he found a little different way of presenting it.
It's a little cringeworthy watching him talk sometimes, isn't it?
You know, I'm sure he's a great coach. I just don't know if this guy is a head coach.
No, yeah.
Like, you have people, you know, if you have a job every day, you go to the office. Sometimes bosses that get to be the bosses maybe shouldn't be the boss. And, like, I think this is one of the situations. There's been reports of players quitting on him.
It's a Peter principle. You should know this.
So, Ben, that's Ben McAdoo on the Chiefs offense. Sean, I'll start with you on this. What do the Chiefs need to do to get back to that original 5-0 offense?
Well, I mean, first thing they need to do is realize who they're playing against. Steve Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator, he's a quality coordinator. He's a guy who's coached them in a Super Bowl winning coordinator with that same New York Giants. So him being part of the Andy Reid tree of coaches, they are so familiar with each other's there's not going to be a lot of surprise factors. I know that coming off of bye week, we think that Andy's going to revamp the offense. It's going to be these, you know, barrage of new plays. I think Andy respects Steve a little bit too much to go that route. It's going to be back to Kareem Hunt, give him the ball, the break tackles. The dream is back. no one nightmare. The nightmare a few weeks is over. It's going to be back to Kareem the dream. Just hard-nosed football. I mean, that's what it's going to take for the Chiefs to kind of get back on the winning path.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, looking at the Chiefs, like, the one thing they need to do better offensively, run the ball. Like, it feels like one of those games where they're just going to make that a priority, you know, especially if they can get a lead. Andy can do what Andy does and sit back on it and run the ball and let them come back until it's too close, and then you end up really angry at a three-point win. But anyway, go ahead, Pete.
Joel is a classic Chiefs fan. That's what I love. We got a former player for the inside and a guy who has put up with this team since the early or late 90s, right? Or early to late.
How old do you think I am? The 80s.
Yeah. Dating back to the 80s. Here is Alex Smith on the Giants defense.
Yeah, I mean, they give you a lot to prepare for. They maybe do more than anybody when it comes from a scheme standpoint. Every coverage in the book, they can play it. Every pressure, they got it. And then some, you know, you got a creative coach that can do a lot. And these guys make you prepare for a ton. So we really got to be on the details as you get ready for them.
Sean, what stuck out to me from Alex's words is he says this is a defense that'll do a lot of different things. I mean, we know they'll be missing some personnel because this is a team littered with injuries, but how difficult does that make it for an offense?
I go back to the coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. He's very detailed in what every person's position is supposed to do, every responsibility on each defensive call. But what he does is he allows multiple guys to play that same position. So he'll have a linebacker playing a nickel spot. He'll have a linebacker playing a safety spot. And from a personnel standpoint, you see those personnels come onto the field and you think it's, oh, they're locked into a nickel call or they're locked into a dime call. They'll be playing like a short yardage-based defense out of a nickel or dime.
It's almost
personnel.
Opposite of the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's just totally. Yeah, the Chiefs are just total polar opposites as far as their defensive scheme and how they execute and the responsibilities each player has on every defense.
It's just funny because it's similar personnel for the Giants, and it worked last year, and it hasn't worked this year. Why the change, do you think?
One thing, effort. Effort. You can't coach guys that play the way Janoris Jenkins and Paul and some of the guys. The lack of effort is uncoachable. You cannot coach that. No matter who you are, no matter how talented the defense is, if they don't give you high effort, if guys don't attack their responsibilities with the right mind frame, you give up big play after big play. And that's why they're the 31st ranked defense right now.
Some guys stand out for this team. Landon Collins, cornerbacks, Janoris Jenkins and Eli Apple. We already talked about Jenkins a little bit. Some guys who are good who may not play in this game, Jason Pierre-Paul and Damon Harrison on the line. I was going to have a whole conversation about Harrison, but it looks like he's not even going to play in this game. And that's the difference between the Chiefs and the Giants. The Chiefs have a lot to play for right now. If you even have a question of an injury, you're not even going to play some of your stars because why have them injured for next year? And also, there's that thing called the NFL draft where maybe you hold some of these players back.
Yeah. It's, you know, like we've been talking, if you're, you know, only won one or two games, three quarters of the way through the season, you know, I don't think there's like anything that, you know, changes your effort or motivation. You know, Sean was saying that a lot of this is like effort related. Like, I don't think that's going to get better in week 11 versus like week six. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is a defense already struggling. They may be missing some of their stars, like I said, on defense. I mean, Pierre Paul and Damon Harrison, Alex is going to have some time, and that's going to be trouble when you have guys like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to throw to. I do want to talk about Damon Harrison's nickname, his nickname Snacks, even though he might not play. I did have a segment written in here, best nickname, Snacks, Barbershop, or the Blogfather. I'll turn it to you guys.
Well, clearly I like the Barbershop. Which, the Barbershop, I don't know when Sean first said it, when we first started doing this. I thought that's the perfect nickname to pair with your name, so much so that I've started privately telling my friends to call me Joel the Barbershop Thorman. Just steal it right from you. Pull the rug right out from under you.
Just complete identity theft.
Right, it's cool. There. It's cool. I mean, Snacks is just not a unique name. I've played with, I think, three different defensive linemen who actually been named Snacks.
What? Are you kidding?
And probably four or five I go back to college.
Is it all because they love snacks?
I mean, their body shape. You know, if you look like a ding-dong, if you look like a ho-ho, or, you know, like a Twinkie, if you look like one of the snacks you eat, then your snacks kind of goes along with the name.
That's how Nacho, Raheem Nuñez-Rochez, got his nickname. Dontari Poe saw him at training camp eating nachos. Boom, Nacho.
Nacho. Nacho
Rochez. Final word on this side of the football, Chiefs offense versus the New York defense, Sean?
I give the New York defense a chance. What I'm thinking you're going to see is you're going to see some young guys play. You're going to see that next man up. You know, Pierre Paul is probably going to be out. You'll see some guys we don't even know about. And when you have that new blood in there, you're not going to worry about effort. You're not going to have to worry about responsibility. Those guys, they're going to play their responsibility, and they're going to play at a very high level. What you might see is Steve Spagnuolo has to dumb down the defense. Some of these exotic calls and these exotic formations and stuff, he might have to just go back to just basic up-in-your-face defense, just pressing them at the line.
Is it time to bet the house on the Chiefs?
I think with nothing to lose, I want to see if some young guys going to just go out there and play. And so I'm not going to have them worried about shifting and motioning and going back and forth. I'm just going to have them line up and want to see them, just get dirty. Just challenge the Chiefs. And I think that's what you're going
to see. Tap into your inner Christina Aguilera.
Early on in the game, if we see that line of scrimmage, that defensive line of scrimmage, if we see them in our backfield a lot, that's going to be a long day for the Chiefs. If we start taking advantage early, then by the second half, they'll lay down. So it comes down to the line of scrimmage.
All right, let's flip the switch now. Chiefs defense number 30, yikes, versus the New York offense number 25, double yikes. Here's our boy McAdoo on the Chiefs D.
Defensively, they're built around an attacking style. They like to get after the quarterback and create turnovers. Houston and Ford have combined for 58.5 sacks in 4 years. And their interior defensive line is talented as well, with Benny Logan, the former Eagle, leading the way. Jones is an impressive athlete inside with the ability to wreck a game. Peters is a talented corner. And all three safeties see a ton of action. They play a lot of defensive backs.
You know, I like Ben's research skills. After this year, when he's on the unemployment line, maybe we add a fourth seat to the table, bring him to Kansas City. Another guy on the Arrowhead Pride podcast.
He definitely has a future as in the world of scouting. There's a job called advanced scouting. You go out and advanced scout the team. It sounds like he's reading the notes exactly verbatim off of his advanced scout.
And why would you do that?
Hey, man, just not to be incorrect. You know? Like, this guy's been studying film. I'm just going to
Tom Brady, pretty good player, will make mistakes.
So, Sean, we know the Chiefs D has the talent, but at number 30 in the league, what needs to change against the Giants this week?
Number one thing, just consistency. You have to be very consistent in your run fits. The Chiefs have given up probably more big plays. I think it's only two teams in the league who's given up more big plays than the Chiefs so far this season. And the way to stop the big plays is the guys to be consistently in their spots. You got to be with the right leverage on the ball. When we have robber help or we have middle help, if you're in the secondary, you have to use your help. You can't just go play everybody like straight up man to man. You have to play the leverage of the defense. And when it comes to the run game, like I said, it's those run fits. It's small nuances where if you're supposed to be in a C gap, you got to stay in a C gap. You can't bust a gap just trying to run to the ball and leave a cutback lane.
Does bye week help with that stuff?
It does. It lets you actually go back and do a lot of self-evaluation. So what I imagine is that the team went back and watched some of the big plays. All, I think it was 92, 92 or 95 big plays have been given up in these first 9 weeks. Look at every play and single out exactly where each play broke down and how we could have stopped that big play from happening. There's only one or two things. There's very small little details that give up these big plays week in and week out.
Get to the quarterback, man. Make Eli uncomfortable, and he's going to turn it over. I think he only has, like, what, 7 picks or something like that this year. Like, Eli's a 20-pick-a-season guy.
It's a big tip drill guy.
Yeah.
Just tip that ball.
I know. But
he always has been for some reason.
I can just, like, envision – like, when I think of Eli, I think of him getting, like, you know, pressured and flustered and throwing an awful pick. Honestly, that's, like, the first thing that comes to my mind. So Chiefs are capable of doing that, especially with some of the O-line injuries in New York.
Giants – as you mentioned, they have some weapons, but they're decimated right now with injuries. Beckham Jr., obviously out for the year. He's not only one of the best skill position players on the Giants, but maybe in the league. That's a huge loss. Brandon Marshall. Sterling Shepard is their guy now. Last game he had 13 targets. Also tight end Evan Ingram with 9 targets. But the O-line is where they may hurt the most. Right tackle Justin Pugh. Injured his back last game, out indefinitely. DJ Fluker now playing through some injuries. That's the right side of that line, which means Justin Houston is going to eat.
He should. He absolutely should. He's got 7.5 sacks so far this season.
I think I'm going to be great. I mean, I'm going to be a little crazy here. I think he has 4 sacks in this game.
He should. He absolutely should. You're going against the backup tackle. He was on the injury report a couple times before the bye, so he's had that rest. Hopefully he's taking advantage of it. Man, everything on paper says Houston should have a big day.
And a good point about that is, as of Wednesday, he was not on the injury report. So when you're on the injury report and you're limited and things like that, that means you're receiving treatment. Chiefs said, okay, Houston no longer needs treatments. That's a great sign.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we just got to – everybody has to go back to their fundamentals, right? You got to have Houston coming off hard. You have to have the D-line smushing and constricting that pocket. If we're blitzing a lot this game, that's a negative for us. It's no reason to blitz this offense. They don't have an offensive line that can stop your front four. Drop 7 in the coverage, 8 sometime, and just let your guys up front, just let them go eat. Just let them, you know, just smell a little blood in the water, and let's go eat.
Now, on the left side, Ereck Flowers, their left tackle. I watched him in the beginning of the year. Not like I'm a technique master, but he had no leverage on some of these opposing defensive linemen. And then now he hasn't allowed a sack since week 2, 282 pass blocking snaps. And what are your expectations with that against Tamba Ali and Frank Zombo, who's just kind of like a run defense guy?
Well, I think if we're smart with us, we'll bring pressure from the opposite side. Flowers is the best of their two right now. We'll just bring the pressure from the side this week. And definitely just up the middle. You know, like the way to really get in Eli's face is just you want that pressure to really be where he can see it. Him getting hit after he released the ball, he kind of shrugs that off and he's able to still make the throw. But when the pressure comes right in his face and does let him step up, that's when it starts to bother him late in the game. And you start seeing him sail passes a little bit high because he's feeling that pressure that you created so much earlier.
I'll admit that Tamba, I thought, looked a little bit better than I thought he would against
Explosive.
The Cowboys. Yeah,
Explosive.
Like he was a half second behind on a few of those. So honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if he got there this week.
I think the big thing about Tamba that I saw when watching him last game is he had the ability to just still bend his body, which I didn't think would be there. I would have figured he'd be a little bit more stiff, but he clearly has been working out since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, flexibility has never been his problem. That's one. I mean, he is a weight room junkie. He's always been in there, whether he's on the field or not. He's kept his body in pristine shape, and I think he showed it against the Cowboys. He's still able to do what Tamba does, is be very consistent coming off that edge. He's going to be a consistent presence, and Flowers going he'll have a rough day dealing with Tamba's his motor.
Other thing to note is the Giants tend to pass a lot because, frankly, they've been down a lot this year. 333 passes to 198 team carries. 81 of those carries, which leads the Giants, have gone to Orleans Darqua. Here is what he had to say about the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten exposed in some areas as far as, you know, I think a good game I watched was Houston. So they've had some you know, things here and there, but at the end of the day, we can't take them for granted. You know, they're pretty stout everywhere around. You know, their safeties come down and hit. You know, and like I said, 56 is around the ball everywhere and commands that defense. So it's going to be a tough task, but I think we're up for it.
Orleans must have been watching the end of Houston because I thought they played pretty good in that game.
That was garbage time. Deshaun Watson just getting up like 3/4 quarter touchdowns.
Sometimes when a reporter asks a question, I mean, just whatever the most recent thing popped in your mind, you just say it. Whether it's true or not, you don't care. I watched Houston.
Get this guy away from my locker, please. Sean, final word about the Chiefs D.
You know, like it goes back to you saying, it's Darkwa. If we can stop him, make the Giants one-dimensional, try to let Eli and Double E, Evan and Sterling try to beat us, those three guys. I think our pass defense, we have guys that can cover those guys all day. Overall, I think we just need to make it a very physical game up front. Both sides of the line, whether it's defense, offense, our D-line and O-line have to take over the game early. You can't give a team like the Giants any kind of hope. You know, crush their spirits from the start of the game, come out second half, third quarter, crush your spirits some more, and then let's go ahead and go party in New York.
Yeah, and this is a huge opportunity for the Chiefs. I mean, get back on track, you know? All right, well, it's the Chiefs and the Giants this Sunday, noon, Arrowhead time. When we come back, we'll get Real M and Chiefs fan on the phone for our prediction segments, and we'll read your tweets. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Pete Sweeney here with Sean Barber, Joel Thorman, and Real MN Chiefs fan Seth Kaiser on the line. We're doing the predictions. It's the Chiefs and the Giants this Sunday at noon. Sean, you're back. We'll start with you.
Definitely. First up, I see it's going to be a pretty easy win. I think the Chiefs are going to go up early, come out second half, get up even further. I see the game pretty much being about a 33-17 game going late into the fourth quarter. They're going to give up a touchdown late with, playing that bend, don't break defense, prevent defense. Ending score is going to be 33-24. So if you're in Vegas, you need to take the G-men plus the 10.5.
Look at you. Very nice. Go ahead.
I'll go with 28-17 Chiefs. Vegas knows what they're talking about, 11-point line. You know, it's just hard to find where the Giants could win this game, where they have the advantage. I think just too much for the Chiefs would have to go wrong. So 28-17 Chiefs.
For me, this is all about who are the Chiefs. If this is the New England Patriots, a New Orleans Saints coming into this game, they win by 17, 21 points. Do that. Prove you're an elite team. I think they do. I got 38-14 Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's a big win in New York. Seth?
I'm going to go along the same lines as a lot of what you guys are saying. I'm going to go with 30-13. I've spent enough time studying the defense on film the last few days over the bye week, especially to convince myself that it's better than it's been. And so I think you're going to see them get back on track a little bit defensively. I think you're going to see the offense come out firing. The Giants are just not a good team. I didn't know that Snacks was hurt, and that's a big deal. He's a fantastic player, and so
no one likes it without Snacks. You know what I mean?
No one likes to live that way. And so I just see the Chiefs with a big win here. And I've been listening today, by the way. You guys have been doing a good job. Pete, I heard what you said, that if this is a game that they lose, this is where it becomes officially okay. It has the Minnesota Chiefs fan stamp of approval to start to panic a little bit.
Right.
Or maybe even a lot, because they should not lose to a team like this. You made a good point. Great teams.
Now I feel the same way. Giants. Well, and maybe the most obvious prediction of the year, four guys picking the Chiefs this Sunday. All right, Seth, well, you know what time it is. It's advice time. What do you got for us this week?
You know, I'm taking a different approach. I've been giving so much lawyerly advice lately. I'm going to give pastoral advice today.
Oh, I like that.
Because I'm a man who wears many hats.
Tap into the spiritual part of the Chiefs.
Yes,
kingdom.
Yes. Well, in the effort to be inclusive, we'll go more towards marital advice.
I'm listening.
From a pastoral viewpoint. Men, when your wife says she has a problem, she doesn't want you to solve it. She wants you to listen. Unless that problem is that she's hungry. Then she wants you to solve it immediately. Well, you can write that down. That's fantastic advice.
What's your go-to meal for Mrs. Real MN Chiefs fan?
Oh, you know, Mrs. Minnesota Chiefs fan, it varies over the years and whether or not she's pregnant, which she usually is. But a go-to thing
humble
for
brag.
Her, brownies. Brownies, just throw some brownies at her and things will probably be okay.
Well, there you go. You can only find this kind of information on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. Seth, thank you, as always, for joining us.
Yep. Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
No doubt. I'm going to follow that up, man. Here locally, my go-to meal for my wife is Shroud's Chicken Noodle Soup.
Oh, wow.
It's a beast, dog.
Is this a thing? Joel, do you have a go-to meal for your wife?
No. Probably some Italian from Bellinopoli in Brookside.
Bellinopoli.
But I don't know if that's a go-to. That's just one of our
favorites. Outsourcing. That's
oh, yeah.
Efficiency at its finest.
I can't even make my own pasta. I'm hopeless.
Guys, it's time for another one of our favorite segments. It's reading your tweets. We reach out to the Chiefs Kingdom, and we get some tweets to read. We'll start with our guy, Neil Davidson, at Neil or something. I don't even know what those letters mean. What's the number one thing you want to see from the Chiefs coming out of the bye?
Kareem the Dream being the Dream again. I mean, really focusing on that run game. Take advantage of the fact that Snacks and JPP is not there. If they have some young guys, some different guys in there, our offensive line with Mitch Morris being back in there, just taking advantage of the game. Each drive, eating up clock, and just making it just a one-sided affair.
The run game's a close second for me. First for me would be the pass rush on defense. I just want them to obliterate Eli and the Giants. On paper, they should, and let's actually do it this time.
I think I would like to see some better right cornerback play because I think that's going to be the key for the Chiefs to go far in the playoffs when they are finally playing decent teams again. They're going to look real good, I think, in this next stretch because they're playing teams that are not going to be making the playoffs, but that still needs to be shored up. And I think if they can do that, you never know what can happen in the playoffs. Next tweet from Don Beal at Don Beal 32. Do you think we see Daddy soon? We already kind of answered that. We said no. When will we see Mitchell? How much of an impact do we see Robinson making the rest of the season? So when will we see Mitchell? Let's start with that one.
I'm hoping in the next few weeks. I think Mitchell is going to be a guy who gets kind of mixed back in. He took a couple weeks off, let him see what's going on. Andy Reid said it. You know, he just kind of let him get his confidence back, let him get back to playing the way he did the first couple weeks when I think he was playing very well for the defense. As far as Robinson, man, like Robinson's one of my – I mean, I consider him a breakout receiver. I consider him a guy pretty much on the same level I do as Aguilar for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, he's that slot receiver. He's that guy in Andy Reid's offense who should be making big plays with almost 10 targets every week. So I hope to see D-Rob making some big plays here in the next few weeks.
Joel, first Mitchell, then Robinson.
Terrence Mitchell. I tend to think they will eventually go back to him. They spent the entire offseason with him as their number two corner. So I think, you know, at some point in the second half of the season, I do think they're going to go back to him. But, you know, we'll see. If Acker continues to play well, then, you know, they're obviously not going to make any moves there. DeMarcus Robinson, time to produce. It's set up well for him. He sure looks the part. He's had some opportunities, whether Alex misses him or he drops it, whatever. Just time to start producing.
I agree with you guys, especially on the Mitchell points. As far as Robinson goes, you're right. I think at the beginning you can make excuses, oh, he's not getting the opportunities. Now that you're getting some real game reps, it's time to step up. You know, are you a player or are you just a guy? I think that's scout speak, but it's true. You know, are you going to be an asset for this team? Next question from Ronwell Dobbs. Sean, this one's directly for you at Ronnie Dobbs KC. Sean, linebacker expert. Wow, look at you.
Yeah. There you go. He's setting you up. He's about to knock you down.
No. Ron Dobbs, he knows me personally.
I'm
just joking, but to call me a linebacker expert, he must know me personally, yeah.
Sean, linebacker expert, why no Ramik? Was he not good? What's going on?
I mean, the proof's in the pudding, right? I mean, if you're a player, you make big plays on a big stage. If you're not getting in there and you're not making big plays and they keep moving, they keep trying to find ways. Like it's like making butter. You got to keep churning it. Defensively, as the season goes on, if you're in there and you're getting snaps and you're not making plays, you look at the stat line. If you're not helping the defense win, then you got to evolve. You got to continue to put guys in there and put them in position to make plays. Ramik is when he's in there, he's a solid guy. He's not making big plays for the defense, and I think they just continue to try new people. You know, they've always been big on the source and package, to going big safeties, putting the safety in the box and that works better with the way the opponents have been. You know, everybody goes three wide outs, four wide outs. It's just more of a passing league. I mean, we probably will see a lot more of that this game. You probably won't see a lot of Ramik this game.
I'll take a step further in this. If they do activate Daddy, is Ramik the guy that goes?
I mean, probably. Just because of the Giants, Giants are a pass-happy offense. And so, you know, bringing extra linebackers in who aren't pass specialists, it's just not a way to, you know, it's like I said, it's not a really an evolution of the defense. So I see the safeties playing a lot more in the box like they've been doing.
All right, next tweet from Nate James at Nader P. Not worried about the Chiefs winning this weekend, but what do you think about the Titans beating Pittsburgh and Oakland beating New England? And even though I never want Oakland to win, I think it's in our best interest if they do this weekend. Joel, I'll start with you on this.
Oakland's not beating New England, so you can forget about that. But the Steelers can play down to the competition.
They almost lost to the Colts last
week. Yeah, yeah. So I would not be surprised at all if that's I think that's in Pittsburgh, though, so I'm probably going to side with the Steelers. In fact, I did on my weekly picks. But I think that can easily be a game. So that's your best bet, Titans beating Steelers. There's no way the Raiders are rising to the occasion.
The Titans-Steelers game is actually tonight. Titans at Steelers.
I will call the upset. The Titans will upset the Steelers.
Mariota looks a little better this year, doesn't he?
I like him, and I think that you're going to see one of these breakout games from Delanie Walker. I think he's been kind of quietly just going about his business. Awesome at the tight end position. He's going to attack the safeties for the Steelers, and with Mitchell not being there for the Steelers, I think they just keep going to Delanie Walker. I think he scores 2 touchdowns, 150 yards receiving.
Sounds like a guy who has him on his fantasy team.
Marcus Mariota goes for 3 touchdowns, even 1 rushing. Yeah, this is going to be one of those when the Steelers got beat by Jacksonville type games. It's going to happen to Tennessee.
I don't think the Steelers are as good as we thought they were, even though they beat the Chiefs. And sorry to say that.
Their ceiling is just higher or just as high, right? I think is the difference.
I think the Titans win the game, too. I think that's a good upset call. As far as Oakland and New England, I don't care about jinxes. Sorry. I know there's a lot of Arrowhead Pride heads that do. This division's over.
Yeah.
The division is over. So root for Oakland. I mean, if you really want to buy, it's not going to happen, but root for Oakland. Lou, at Lou McGopher. This is a guy I've seen a lot. Are we going to go back into panic mode when we beat the Giants by less than 10? I think definitely.
Yeah. No,
if that happens, yes.
This could absolutely be one of those games where the Chiefs win, move to 7-3, and the fans are feeling almost like they did after the Cowboys game. And
Well, the Broncos game, because that was...
Yeah, the Broncos game.
That was
right.
The win, they won. They were still freaking out.
Yeah, and there's not going to be any game this season that can really slow that down, because even if you run the table 7-0, like, you were supposed to beat all these teams. You were the Vegas favorite.
The one
that
you were
games.
Worried about is perhaps the Bills, and now that they're starting a guy who has no previous time, a previous experience, now you expect to win that game too. So you're right. Like, even a perfect record, unless you're dominating, you're not going to have a ton of confidence going into the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think don't worry about the score. Don't worry about the winning margin. Let's focus on if the rushing yards are over 150, passing over 250, if we win the turnover margin, and then the time of possession, if that's plus 5 minutes for the Chiefs, don't even worry about the score. That's winning football. We move on to the next week and to the Buffalo Bills.
On to the next one.
On to the next.
Last tweet, Brendan Downey, Chiefs Hydro. I thought this was the most interesting one, so I saved it for last. How much time will Patrick Mahomes get to play? I say he gets the entire fourth quarter. Oh. Interesting point, because if the Chiefs are winning this game by 24, 21, 28 points, do you take Alex Smith out?
No, I think they're going to play Alex Smith every minute. Even when Chase Daniel was here, like, he did not get in very often.
He would get one or two drives in the fourth quarter. I do remember that as well.
Yeah, so I just don't see, and this is a different situation where the fans are, you know, Andy Reid's conscious of the fans going too crazy over the rookie quarterback, I think. I don't think he gets in at all, and I think that's fine. I don't think you're going to learn that much from, you know, a fourth quarter garbage time
do
game.
You see? Would you rather see Tyler Bray in there? Because that would make more sense to me almost.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. I mean, just to me, it's like a drive in the fourth quarter. It'd be kind of cool, but it doesn't actually like mean anything.
And,
so.
And I think the thing, too, that you got to remember is if Patrick Mahomes or Tyler Bray is in the game, they're going to be running the football. Sharkhandrick West will be in the game, too. Akeem Hunt will be in the game, too, and they'll be running the clock out.
You don't think Big Red can't help himself to line one up, send Tyreek back in, and just say, let's do this thing?
You can't, because God forbid you do a play-action pass, and Mahomes hits Tyreek 80 yards down the field, like in stride. It's just be a nightmare.
Yeah.
It'd be a nightmare. And Andy Reid, if there's anyone who's oversensitive about that type of stuff,
Andy Reid.
Trust me, formerchiefs.com, it's Andy Reid.
I'm going with zero plays. I mean, you always prepare. They're going to prepare for him to take over in case something happens, you know, concussion, small injury. blowout. They're prepared for that, but I don't think this game is going to end up being a completely blowout where you have a whole quarter of just handing the ball off to.
That'd be ideal, but it's just very un-Chiefs.
It's very un-Chiefly, and I think that you have to respect the Giants because of Sterling and because of even Evan Ingram. they have enough weapons that if you give them a full quarter of four possessions, if you're not up by 28 points, you don't want to make it close. So I think that Alex Smith stays in there, whether they hand the ball off and do some conservative stuff later in the game. Zero snaps for my man Mahomes.
I think we're all in agreement. Well, that's it. Any final words from you guys before we go out? You want to plug your Twitter, Sean? We got to get you to 1,000 followers.
Yeah, man. We're going to try to hit a G-ball. Let's hit a G-ball before the end of the month. That'll make my Thanksgiving. I'll have a good turkey day, gobble, gobble. Let me know. What do y'all think? Pecan pie, sweet potato pie, pumpkin pie.
You got to plug the username.
Oh, at SeanBarber59.
Pecan pie, I think, is the answer there. Man, without question. Pecan pie is easily the best.
Pecan pie. Okay, let's just.
Pumpkin's just kind of there. Pumpkin's pie, just a guy.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Pumpkin pie is gross. I don't think it's gross, like I can't eat it, but when you compare it to cherry pie, blueberry pie, pecan pie, apple pie with like a little ice cream, it's not even close.
No, yeah.
It's not even close with all of those pies. It's like fifth, maybe. Yeah.
Pumpkin pie's along for the ride.
I'm a sweet potato guy. I'm a sweet potato pie guy.
Never had it.
If you're in Kansas City, that would be known probably as maybe like a Dixie pie. If you're a toppings guy, they have a Dixie.
I don't know either of those words.
Well, you got it. Go out a little bit. All right, go to the hen house.
You know, I like to stay in the inside at all times.
Make it out once in a while, Pete. You ever been to Hy-Vee?
Well, that's it. It's the Kansas City Chiefs visiting the New York Giants on Sunday. We'll have all the coverage at arrowheadpride.com, game recap, the new article, the good, the bad, and the ugly I've been writing. It's kind of an enjoyable way to do it. It should be fun. We'll have a post-game Facebook Live. We'll get back to that. And then next week, the schedule will change a little bit. We might end up doing the show on Tuesday or Wednesday because of Thanksgiving. Stay tuned to Twitter on that. You can follow me at PG Sween, at SeanBarber59. Of course, follow at Arrowhead Pride. And that's it. This has been the Arrowhead Pride Podcast. We thank you for listening in.